Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, October the 27th, we're going to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Now, what happens here? Abraham has heard this promise at least three times from God. It comes in different forms. Sometimes it comes with a vision. Sometimes it's simply a reiteration of the same promise. Now, the promise is basically that he is going to have descendants, but before he can have descendants, plural, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, now 99 years old, Abraham, and 74, I believe, for Sarah, they have to have a descendant, at least one, to begin the line of descendants, and they don't yet, and yet God appears to them there where Abraham has pitched his tent to one more time. 1 year in advance of keeping this promise, repeat the promise to Abraham. Why does God keep repeating this promise? We're going to be talking about Abraham's visitors from heaven in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15 on this Monday afternoon. In the second hour of the program, let me remind you that Issues Etc. Reformation Week 2014 begins. We're going to talk about the Lutheran Reformation and culture, beginning with Dr. Ken Sherb this afternoon, the Lutheran Reformation and education. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
God keeps repeating this promise to Abraham again and again over the course of the, well, it's 25 years all said that he takes to keep the promise, but especially toward the end. Why does he keep repeating it so much to Abraham and Sarah toward the end before he keeps it?
I'm going to answer almost with a little correction to your introduction. You gave the impression that the Reformation theme for Issues Etc. isn't going to begin until the hour after this program. I think it begins with this program because Genesis 18 and what God is promising to Abraham is definitely a Reformation theme, namely that God can do anything that he says to do. And he is going to save Abraham without any of Abraham's works. Now, your question is, why does God keep repeating that? It's the same reason that every proper pastor keeps repeating to his members every week concerning the gift of the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We need that reminder. Abraham needed the reminder that the Messiah was coming through his child with Sarah. We need to have the reminder that the child has come through the Virgin Mary. And for those who say, wow, how could a virgin have a child? Well, we would ask, how can a 90-year-old woman have a child? So these reminders are simply to keep down our old Adam so that we do not become so infatuated with ourselves that, remember, even the name Isaac was a reminder to Abraham that he also laughed at first in Genesis 17, verse 17. And so everything God does is a reminder about what God is doing in your life by grace, through faith, on account of the Savior.
He sees here, this is a unique way of God communicating with Abraham. And it's not as though he hasn't seen God in kind of a very vision form. The last time we talked with you, there was that the making of the covenant where God appeared as a torch and a smoking fire pot that passed between the two halves of the sacrifice that were made there to show this covenant being God is the one who is taking on this covenant and the risks therein. Now it's three men. How are we to understand this appearance of the Lord? Because it does say he appeared to him, and it's three men who appear to him.
Yes. the English is difficult, especially if you don't have the word Lord in capitalized. Because if you go down to verse 3, Abraham says, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight. And then the word Lord is also found in verses 1, 10, 13, and 14. But the 1, 10, 13, and 14 is a different Hebrew word. It's the name for God, and some English translations will put it in capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But when Abraham speaks, he uses a different Hebrew word, meaning, well, it's like head of the household or head of the farm and this sort of thing. But in the English, the word Lord appears the same. So the word Lord in chapter 18, verse 1, is capitalized, which refers to none other than the name of God, Yahweh. So this is referring to, we believe, the divine second person of the Trinity. Now, some scholars think that the three represent the Trinity. Well, there's no doubt there's three in the Trinity, three persons. But when you go outside of our lesson to chapter 19, verse 1, they're referred to as specifically angels. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and they were the two that were accompanying the Lord. So a proper understanding, I believe, and by the way, this is well done by the Concordia Publishing House material here, is that this is Jesus in his pre-incarnate state and two angels.
Okay, so we have the Lord himself. He is appearing here to Abraham, where Abraham has pitched his tent. And I want you to explain Abraham's response. It says, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the earth, and said, O Lord, and you're right there, he uses a different term. If I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought to wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after this, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. Is there any indication at this point that Abraham is aware of who it is that's appeared to him?
It seems that he's aware that someone special has appeared to him. But when he talks about, I'll bring you a morsel of bread, he actually sets up three seahs, S-E-A-H-S. And these are extremely large amounts for only three men. And he does something else that normally you would sit with the men and eat with them, but he continues to be a servant towards them. And rather than just sitting with them, he himself serves them, which is really quite unusual in such a setting. So you see that in his mind there is some importance concerning these three men that he sees, and he's about to find out how important they are.
Now, this is also, as we've, you probably should mention, kind of a standard way of showing hospitality. Hospitality is considered a very, very powerful virtue, kind of a social necessity, even in these ancient times. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, washing the feet was the first step of proper hospitality. And in fact, we recall Jesus washing the disciples' feet and hoofing them out. Peter said, whoa, whoa, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet because that's the work of a slave. And then Jesus says, well, then you will not be clean. Oh, then wash my whole body. No, no, Peter, we just need to wash your feet. In other words, he was adding and subtracting from the word of God, but God still showed his mercy not only towards Peter, but we see here Abraham showing great hospitality beyond what would be normal, even though he does the normal things in washing the feet and bringing food and drink.
Well, as you said, he says, let me bring you a little morsel of bread, and he ends up making three full cakes, and then he goes to one of his hired men and says, kill a calf, and then he brings curds and all this. He's really laying out the feast, isn't he?
Absolutely.
So the next thing that happens is that and it doesn't specify who actually says this, the question is posed, where is your wife, Sarah? What is that about?
Well, Sarah is going to, I almost think, is the key to this lesson. If I was trying to teach the children about proper faith, I would use Sarah, because Sarah is one who moves from unbelief to faith. And the reason one of them, and doesn't, you are correct, we don't know if it's the angel who says it or God himself, where is Sarah, but the promise is going to be touching her. When Abraham says she is in the tent, then verse 10 begins, the Lord said, and now we are back to God himself. And he says, I will surely return to you about this time next year. Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And, of course, she's listening at the tent door. It wasn't unusual that the women would eat separately from the men. But she was at the tent door, so she was able to hear their conversation because she was close enough to them. And, of course, at this point, she is 89 years old. And Abraham is 99 years old, and verse 12 begins then, so she laughed to herself.
Now, 89 is still 89, right? I mean, they are both far past the ages,
yes,
of being able to either conceive or beget children.
And the Lord even makes known of that in verse 13. Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you see, this is, well, every lesson is law and gospel. But this is the law, because in her laugh, she is guilty of saying, well, this is too hard even for the Lord to do. And of course, it's not. And he says again, he promises, at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Sarah is embarrassed. She has been pointed out how she did not believe, so she denies it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, but you did laugh. And this is a perfect example for the Sunday school children. How many times are we accused by our parents of doing something, and we try and blame it on our brother or sister, or try to blame it on something else because the guilt is just too heavy for us at times. And this is exactly where Sarah recognized, wow, this is not something I should have laughed about, and so tries to deny it as though the God who told her and gave her that promise isn't aware of her thoughts.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. And on this Monday afternoon, October the 27th, the first Monday here in Issues Etc. Reformation Week 2014, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Abraham's visitors from heaven in Genesis chapter 18.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu, Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Monday afternoon. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson from Abraham, being visited by God in the form of three persons there under the oaks where he had cast his tent in Genesis chapter 18. You mentioned something before the break, Tom, that it's Sarah's reaction. Now, we know from the previous lesson that we looked at last week that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Is there a contrast here with Sarah, who will be the mother of this child that's promised? She doesn't believe God, and yet at the same time, there are two things to note. While she gets a mild rebuke for laughing, he does not withdraw the promise. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the book of Hebrews says that she conceived by faith.
You are referring to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, and I think we need to take a little bit of time on this, because it says, this is a great chapter of faith. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And then verse 12 says, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, you know, he's 99 years old, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And I believe that that faith came back to her when God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the Holy Spirit created faith within her. That this is a wonderful example with the children. Because, yes, at times we want to shift responsibility away from us, who are responsible for sin, put it on someone else or something else. But then God uses the Holy Spirit to make us aware that we are responsible for our sin, which moves us to repentance. And remember the two parts of proper repentance, not just contrition over sin, which Peter had and Judas had, but also sorrow over what we have done to Jesus in the sense of trusting his promises of forgiveness, which Peter had and Judas did not have. So it is clear by Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, that the faith of Sarah was received back so that she was not only able to conceive, but she now considered God faithful because he had made a promise. And that's the way, during this Reformation season, every person is saved, by trusting the promises of God that he is faithful to do what appears to be impossible.
So we have this kind of one-year warning. Now the promise had been more vague in terms of its time frame. In fact, very vague in terms of its time frame for Abraham. For 25 years, He'd first heard this promise. Then the promise becomes kind of more specific as it goes along. But he doesn't say, oh, you're going to have to wait another 10 years or something. This time, when the Lord repeats the promise, he sets a deadline for himself. This time next year, and I want you to explain the way he puts this, I will return to you. I will visit you again, and Sarah will have a son. What does that mean?
Unless God returns to us, we are unable to fulfill any of his promises because they are his promises. Therefore, he is also not only the author of our salvation, but the finisher of our salvation. That's Hebrews talking about Jesus in regard to us. But there is no way that Sarah on her own, without God returning to her and being able to give a dead womb a live child, no way that could happen. So the promise is not only that she will have a baby, but it will be done by him. As one of your frequent guests, Dr. Nagel, often says, who is running the verbs? Who is responsible for the keeping of the promise? And it is always God. And that's what I believe this passage is referring to.
So we have this being God's action entirely so that they will know when Isaac is born that God has worked a miracle. This is totally the result of a promise made, not the result of any ability or even for both Abraham and Sarah at some point, even willingness on their part.
Yes, and in fact, once more, the material from Growing in Christ helped me here. I had not really realized this, how much laughter is involved in regard to the birth of Isaac. First of all, Abraham laughs in Genesis 17, verse 17. Then in Genesis 18, verse 12, what we're looking at, Sarah laughs. But then in Genesis 21, verse 6, Sarah says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. You know, that she was so old and had a child. And sure enough, in Genesis 21, verse 9, but Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. There's the word laughter again. And finally, Genesis 26, verse 8. When Abraham had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. And remember, Isaac had pretended that Rebekah was his sister. And so it was just really quite interesting to me how much that word laughter comes up, where it's often in each of these cases because of sin. We don't believe the Lord or we're trying to protect ourselves. And guess what his name is? Isaac, which has in the Hebrew the idea of laughter. Another way, every time they use the name Isaac, it would remind them of the promise that God had given that through Isaac would come a great nation.
I want to talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break, but let's get started with a minute or two before we take that break. Why does God wait so long? Why does he make that promise to Abraham and then make Abraham and Sarah wait so long for the fulfillment of that promise?
Well, you could ask Eve that, because in Genesis 4, verse 1, Eve thinks that Cain is the Messiah. I have gotten a man, the Lord, is a proper Hebrew translation, but instead it's the first murderer. God, remember, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. What that simply means is time is inconsequential for our God. We take a look, and you can never figure out when the Lord is going to actually come. But when the fullness of time had come, from God's point of view, he brought forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So God's timing and our timing is really quite different. So when I ask God for something, one of the answers may be like, wait, and that's not going to bother me. Or it could be no, because his timing when he answers our prayers to our satisfaction is such that it is always for our good. So we don't want to put our timing and God's timing in place, or else, you know, it sure took a long time for the Messiah to be born.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website. When we come back, another 10 minutes with him teaching a Sunday school lesson, Abraham's Visitors from Heaven in Genesis chapter 18. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You know, most Sunday school lessons, most Sunday school curricula would take this very familiar stock story from the Old Testament, and they would all include it there, these three men visiting Abraham and Sarah a year before the birth of Isaac, and make it about Abraham and Sarah and not about the promise and the one who made the promise. Now, we heard Pastor Baker mention earlier the book of Hebrews, and they talk about the faith of Sarah and Abraham, but what they're really talking about is the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. That's what most Sunday school curricula would probably do with this, make it about you and your faith. Well, that's not what it's about. It's about Christ, the one who made and kept the promise then and makes and keeps the promises now, especially the promise made of life and salvation in his name through his death and resurrection. That's what makes growing in Christ different from all those other Sunday school curricula, focusing on Christ on every page of Scripture. That's why it's called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curricula at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're in Genesis chapter 18. So he's made Abraham wait, but this is a year off. And I imagine this next year, they're going to see the promise being fulfilled. Within months, they will see this promise fulfilled. At some point, Sarah is going to actually conceive of this child. Talk a little bit about that, watching God's promise so long ago made actually come true.
Yeah, it almost reminds us of other women who hid themselves when they were pregnant by God because they didn't want to maybe not become pregnant, and then again a curse would be upon them. But when God makes a promise, he is going to fulfill it regardless of your faith or unbelief, because he will give you the faith to receive it. This is probably one of the most important points, I think, of this lesson. For example, if you talk to your Sunday school children and you ask them, are there times when it seems like your parents don't love you? They almost will always say, well, when they punish us. And it gives the opportunity to the teacher to show, no, the punishment is the law, but that doesn't keep out the gospel where your parents still love you. What pastor cannot talk about a shut-in that they went to? Maybe all the family members, the relatives have died. She's quite alone. And you ask her the question, do you ever doubt whether you'll go to heaven? And they will say sometimes, yes, I do doubt. And what an opportunity to give the Sarah story, because Sarah really doubted that this would come about. But God then made a promise, and it was on the basis of that promise that that faith was received. And so to that shut-in, you can say, well, isn't it wonderful that it doesn't depend on your works or your emotions, but God has made a promise to you? You would point out, of course, baptism. And then with shut-ins, what I often would do, I would say, would you like to have evidence that God is going to keep his promise? And then we would give them the Lord's Supper, because only those who are sinless in God's sight can receive the Lord's Supper, and it becomes an assurance to them that God is going to keep his promise regardless of their doubt.
So is this why Abraham is, and Sarah to a lesser degree, is held up again and again in the New Testament as a model of faith? Not so much that he had this great, strong, bold faith, but that he relied entirely upon the one who made the promise.
I would say that their sin is also held up, and their unbelief, the very fact that Isaac is named laughing. But it shows that once God makes a promise, and that promise is going to come to Abraham, he will provide the faith necessary to keep the promise fulfilled. And probably the best Reformation theme is, we're not declared righteous by our works. Abraham believed. What did he believe? He didn't believe that God exists, or else Hindus would be saved, or Mormons. He didn't believe that God was creating the world, because then anybody who believes in the creation of a God would be saved. No, he believed the gospel promises, that through the coming of the Messiah, his sins would be forgiven, even though he contributed nothing to that except his sins. And that glorious exchange, therefore, took place, where Abraham's sin was given to the Messiah, and the Messiah's righteousness was given to Abraham. And so God declared Abraham righteous, all by the work of God, nothing by the work of Abraham or Sarah.
What is the basic law and gospel that the Sunday school teachers need to be able to draw from this particular story in the Old Testament of the Lord visiting Abraham in the form of three men and reiterating that promise that he would keep?
On Law and Gospel, my own radio program, we've been talking about parents who have gay children. How do you respond to them? Well, the first thing is the promise that I would give right out of this book. No heart is so hard that God cannot soften it. And the way he softens it is by first giving the law and then the gospel. But then the second point, and I don't think pastors make this as clear as they should. They may make law preaching clear, but they need to realize, the laity, that it hurts the pastor to preach the law. Just as when Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He was not smiling or laughing when he did that. It hurt him to say that to Peter, but he knew he had to say it. So the point I would be making here is that regardless of where the behavior of their children are at, if it's sinful, you do need to give the law, and it's going to hurt you to give it, but it's for the purpose so that God, therefore, can take that hard heart and soften it. And I've said many a time, there is no one in the world that God cannot convert. But it takes a preaching of the law, and that hurts to preach it, especially to loved ones, but then the good news of the gospel when a soft heart repents.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom's going to lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Abraham and Isaac, father and son. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
In the next hour on this Monday afternoon, we're going to begin Issues Etc. Reformation Week 2014. We're going to talk with Dr. Ken Sherb about the Lutheran Reformation and its influence on education. That's coming up in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. God is always in the business of making and keeping promises. Even promises that are impossible to keep, He keeps. He never fails to keep a promise He makes. This is why we can rest assured that we have forgiveness, life, and salvation in the name of His Son who kept the promise. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.